Navigating Solo is the official Singles Adult Ministry podcast of the United Pentecostal Church International. Navigating Solo is dedicated to encouraging single adults in every stage of life by using biblical principles to navigate discussion on various topics. Here's your host, Dr. Lorraine Orozco.
Welcome, everybody, to another episode of Navigating Solo. Today, I have our guest, Ian McGill, who is from California and is going to be introducing himself and giving us some of his background and his testimony and his involvement in singles ministry. Brother Ian, thank you so much for coming on and being our guest today on the podcast. Welcome.
You're welcome. Thank you so much for having me to be here. This is exciting. Very privileged.
So we're going to go ahead and jump on in because I want everybody to know all about who you are, about where you're from, your education, your family, your testimony, so many wonderful things to talk about today, and especially in regards to singles ministry. So go ahead and just jump on in and just tell us a little bit about you and start with where you're from.
Sure, sure. Yeah, thanks for asking. Well, I'm actually from the state of Florida. I'm from the Florida district. That's where I was born, but I was also born spiritually there too. You know, so I'm from Florida and I spent my childhood there. And then my family and I, we moved to the state of Maryland when I was a teenager. So we were in Baltimore County, Maryland for all of my teenage years and early 20s. So it's kind of weird, you know, I went from the Florida, you know, lifestyle. I was a country parts of Florida. And then I went to the city, you know, when I was a teenager. That's kind of a bad mix if you want to think about it that way. But I was there. And, but while I was there in Baltimore County, Maryland, I was in the Maryland D.C. district. I really got my love for the Lord there. My relationship got tighter with the Lord when I was there. You know, for ministry, it really blossomed when I was there. And I didn't come to California until I was 21. So I left Florida when I was 13, and I moved to Maryland. And I left Maryland when I was 21 and moved across country by myself, you know, to California. And this is where I put my roots down in Northern California, and I love it out here at this place, you know. So while I was there, though, I was fortunate that in Maryland, I got a lot of opportunities for schooling, and I love music. I like music a lot, and I was able to major in music performance in college in Maryland, and it was really cool, you know. I mean, God knew what he was doing. It's crazy when you don't really focus on, you know, the details about your life, you focus on the Lord. So I was focusing on the Lord. And what was happening was that he was having me to be involved in so much, you know, ministry and music and people. You know, it was just all just garbled together like this one big soup. And that's what I do now. I still do music now. I still love people now. And I minister now, you know. But when I was in school, I had the privilege of taking classes and so forth with prominent musicians. And it was my goal to play music for Jesus the rest of my life. I was going to travel around the world, you know, and do a whole bunch of stuff. But when I came to California, the reason why I came was for ministry. That's why I came. I came to California for Bible college, for theological studies, as well as music. And that's really propelled me, you know, since then, you know. But family-wise, you know, they were really supportive of me, you know, when I was doing that. Like I said, I moved out here by myself. Mm-hmm. I was 21, and I was the only child, you know, but she supported me. She came to visit me every once in a while. But when I came to California, this is where I needed to be. I had no desire to leave and go back to Florida or Maryland. I just really felt God here at my local church, and I've been here for the last 25 years. I live in California, okay. So I'm loving it.
So got some really strong roots in California, fell in love with there. Yeah. Ministry, doing lots of music, doing lots of things, being involved in your church. So tell me, other than music, what are some of the things that even that you're doing now that you're involved in at your local church?
Yeah. So, you know, what I know is that, you know, the Bible says, whatever your hands find to do, you know, you do it for the Lord, paraphrasing that. So, you know, just being faithful. And the Lord blessed me that I was able to get involved in a lot of different ministries. You know, so I was involved in, you know, youth ministry a lot. It's kind of like a prerequisite if you think about it, but I was involved in youth ministry a lot. And but over time, I began to take more training, under my actual local church, my pastor, and God blessed me to get my local license through my church. Then I got ordained through my church, so God started using me in, pulpit ministry, hyphen ministry. At the time, it was called College and Career. Then I remember the switch when it switched to hyphen. I remember that, but youth and college and career, outreach ministry. We started a program that we call deacons in our church, really being like the armor bearer for pastors and, campus ministry and counseling. And so I was just really involved in just ministry, period. So it wasn't just music. Music was awesome, and I still love to do it. I still love to play. I still play music at church. But, being a part of a deliverance ministry, that's what it was about. So deliverance ministry is my bag, And then when I got into single adult ministry, it just flowed in that direction, the single adult ministry.
Yeah, so let's kind of talk about that because, like you're saying, you were so involved. Anything that your hands would find, you did it. A hyphen you, then I agree too. It's like everybody's got to work with the youth at one time or another if you're called in ministry. But one thing that I wanted to mention too before I kind of go into the singles is that you do work full time for the church or part time for your church. Is that right?
Yeah, I work full time for the church, and it's awesome that you asked me that. I thought that I was going to be working for the church doing music, but even though I knew, that I came to California for ministry, and biblical studies and preaching and evangelizing and all that, but music was the deal. I still had the thought that I was going to do music, but what happened was my pastor asked me, and they offered me a position at the church as the assistant administrator. And it blew my mind. I never even thought about that. And I accepted that. And it's been a blessing for me to do that because it opened up a whole nother world to really focus more on that type of ministry. So I work full time for the church, God bless me with that. And so I'm there all the time and I love it. I love being there, the ins and the outs, the good, the bad, it's all about the Lord. And immediately when I got that job, I just felt ministry happen. Like we were praying for, the mailman. I mean, just so many things was happening. It's just all about ministry. It's about your community. And we're a community church, so we reached out to the community for all kinds of things. And I like being right in the middle of it. So for single adult ministry, I got into that because my pastor asked me to do it. So I did get a divorce in 2020. And a couple of years after that, around 2022, it's when my pastor asked me to head up a single adult ministry. And it's crazy. So, I mean, God knows what he's doing. So just to go back, I was looking through some of our old data for our church. And around 2020, when I got divorced, I saw on some of the data, it was going through some of the ministries that we had at our church, because I have access to that. And I saw that my name was under the single adult ministry, like way back then. And I'm thinking to myself, why is my name with that? Now, this is before I became the single adult director and everything. This is way in the beginning. So I just put it in the back corner. So when my pastor asked me to do it 2 years later, it all came back and God had a plan. God had a plan the whole time, to take the passion that I have for people, the passion that I have for, healing and deliverance, my passion that I have for the individual person. It just came out and I said, yes, sir. I'll do that with all my might. That's how I got into it. He asked me, and I said, I'm going to do it.
Awesome. Yeah. So that's kind of like where you're involved in all of these different ministries. Actually, I just want to make just a mention that you have also recorded music. You have, I mean, not just a musician, but like a professional musician, that you have put out albums and have done amazing things in our organization as well as music. So before we kind of keep going in that direction, just tell us briefly about some of the things, the projects that you were able to create.
Yeah, thank you so much. And thank you for calling me a professional musician. I appreciate that. One of the things I learned in business is that, professionals are ones that you get paid for what you do. That makes a professional. So I wasn't doing it for being paid, but I appreciate that. So I had, like I said, God knows what he's doing. And I keep going back to that because when you just focus on the Lord, you find out after time how he led you through certain things. And I had a certain vision for recording music around 2010, 2011. And there was nobody around me that could do it. Now, even though I spent all these years, playing music at symphonic orchestras and concerts, secularly as well as, gospel. And then here I am in California. And I'm like, man, I want to put all this, for the Lord. And this is around just around 2010. So that was a while ago. And I had nobody that I had access to really get it done. So I did a lot of studies, and I studied and put out my first album on my own, 2011. And it did pretty good locally, ministry wise. I had some churches that was doing some of the songs, but it was about getting that message out there. I wanted to have apostolic music. You know what I mean? I didn't want to have, I'm just going to say, I didn't want to have watered down Christian music. I wanted to have straight apostolic music. And the Lord helped me to do that. So I did my first album in 2011, and it was with my ex-wife and I. We were actually ministering together, which is a big deal because we were doing a lot of ministry, and we wanted to do that together. So that was the first project, 2011. And I didn't do another full project until 2021 or 19. But in the middle, I was on different people's, albums and projects and different recordings here, and so forth. So I was blessed to do that, but what I learned was that, it's better to study. It's better to study and, to get good at what you do, So going back to what I was saying, God led me, the Lord started bringing up people in my path that was sound engineers, started bringing up people in my path that was musicians, and bringing up people in my path that were songwriters. They just were just coming to me. You know what I'm trying to say? And the Lord just let me know this is what you need to do, So going in a circle back to when I became a single adult again, my pastor told me, he said, you should probably sit down and start writing some music that's going to really help you to focus on what God's going to be doing for your life. And it just blew me away, because to me, that was the Lord talking to me. So I said, okay. So around 2018, I started writing again. 'Cause I stopped writing because, life happens. And then all of a sudden a project came and COVID came. What happened? So we had to stop the project right in the middle. So I just put out a single in 2019. It was called Beyond Myself, doing pretty good. But the actual full project came out 2021. But God led me to do that, to be able to do it. I didn't mention this, but God sent me like graphic artists too. God sent me people that know how to do graphic artists and all kind. He sent them to me, so I was like, okay, God, I'm gonna do that. So I love doing music. I have another project that's going to be coming out in 2025. I'm actually trying to perform a song live pretty soon that I wrote, but I just want to stay involved in doing that because it's about getting the message out there. There's so many musicians out there, and I've preached about it a lot. In fact, Brother Court Chambers was talking about it, and I use his message a lot when he was saying that, music comes from heaven. Music is the only thing that comes from heaven. Music is the only thing on the earth that's not from the earth, is what he said. I'm quoting him. And it was so powerful, but you need to use music for what it's made for, which is to worship. It just depends on what you worship. So my passion for music is really big, is heavy, but the balance is there that I need it for ministry also, for teaching and preaching and counseling and all that kind of stuff in music together. But I love it. I love music. But yeah, it's called Beyond Myself, the project that I did. And it was my first solo project actually, because I was big on praise teams and choirs, but this project was a solo project. So I had like some praise teams with me that was mostly focused on, my life as a solo person. In fact, that song was the one. It's called Beyond Myself, and the words are really talking about, how life will get you down and life will distract you. You know what I'm trying to say? But God, the whole time, is going to be leading you and guiding you in the direction He wants. That's what it was about. So music is a passion for me.
I know you and I talked about how music is kind of like the segue of to ministry. It was like it's one of those things that opens your life. And myself as a young age, like loved to sing, play the piano and all this stuff. But then it wasn't just that. It's like, but then God gives you all of these other things that He wants you to do. It's not just being a musician, all different types of ministry. But kind of going into that, so we've got you still continuing to do amazing things in music, but now, officially, as of recently, you have become the new single adult ministry ministry committee member. So you are
I
now
know.
serving on the national team. So
Love it.
congratulations on
Thank
that
you.
with
Thank you.
some wonderful people that I'm so privileged to be able to work with. Sister Debbie Scythe,
Yes,
our
she's
national
awesome.
singles coordinator, leader, our national leader. So love her so much. And now you are involved in singles ministry. So from kind of this line of doing music and all these other things, working for the church, tell
Right.
me about working on the, working for singles ministry. How has that impacted you? And what are some of the things that you've learned so far from being involved, not only nationally now, but as a singles leader at your church?
Yes, it's a good question. You know, the thing about single adult ministry is that it's very personal. I mean, I know all ministry is personal, but really to get down to it, single adult ministry is very personal. And for me to have been a facilitator or a leader or a director of single adult ministry, I had to learn how to be open. I had a pastor, a prophet, come to me one time. And he, we were all at the altar, and he was going and laying his hands on everybody. Apostolic pastor, he's from Oakland. He's an awesome pastor. And he came to me and I had my hands up, and he put his hand on my stomach, and he said that the Lord was telling him, turn it over. He said, you are going to be the book that people read, is what he said. And it was from the Lord, just to open up. So what I learned in single adult ministry is that I need to be able to be honest and have a safe space for people, to, be healed, be delivered. Safe space for people to grow in the Lord. And so it wasn't about the facade or the Maybelline, whatever word you want to use. It was about, this is the real Ian McGill, and I really love you, or I really love people, or I really love Jesus. You know what I'm trying to say? Or I really do have this passion for that. I really love married couples, single couples. I love people. So what I learned in single adult ministry is how to be a real guy. A real person. If you're angry, you're angry. If you're sad, you're sad. You know what I'm trying to say? But you're focused on the Lord. In fact, I was actually talking with a friend yesterday, and they were just talking about life. And I kept trying to push them towards, what is God teaching you and changing you in the convictions he's given you? Like, what is that for? You're not just convicted just to be convicted. This was last night. We were talking for a long time. And I said, God's giving you conviction because he's trying to make a change in your life for what he's wanting you to do in your direction. And it was really the word from the Lord. So I've really learned that in single adult ministry, how to be a real person. It's not about letting things roll off your back. You know what I'm trying to say? That's kind of like a, what's the word? That's like a, I don't know, but it's not real, is what I'm trying to say. You don't let stuff roll off your back, all that business stuff. No, you need to be a real person. You know how to have a competent conversation with somebody. You know what I'm trying to say? Let's talk as real people, it's a man to man or a brother to a sister. Let's find out what's happening, because that's what Jesus did. So I've really learned that in single adult ministry, how to be a real person, a real ambassador for Christ. That's really the word.
One of the things about being singles involved in singles ministry is that most people who are involved in singles ministry, because they have their own story of being single, whether it's been a divorce or never been married, or because they have been widowed, and they have their own journey of how they have maybe come through it. And so, what are the things in your own personal life that helped you through that time and through that journey of you becoming being somebody who was married and then finding yourself single again? What are the things that you can kind of share? Like, this is really something that helped me in this time in my life.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, that's awesome. I learned how to tell my testimony and love it. So I'm glad you asked me that question. Yeah. So what I usually tell people about my story was that, first of all, I didn't expect to be divorced. Nobody really expect, not really, but I never expected to get a divorce. When I first went to my pastor about that, I cried like a baby, of course, because I told him I never thought this was going to happen to me. I never thought it was going to happen, but it did. And I had a mentor. That's what I'm trying to get at. One of the things that I learned was, I think it's in James. It says that be quick to listen and slow to speak. But it also says be slow to be angry also. All three things together. So for my testimony, what I learned from that was to get under my spiritual mentors, which is what I did. And I just was quiet. I didn't say a lot of things. I would go to their house and eat, almost every weekend, just eat and just let them, just pour into me. You know what I'm trying to say? Be around spiritual people. That's what I learned, you know. So I did that, and then a part of the journey was I did get some professional counseling. They were apostolic, and one of the things they told me was that you need to be aware of what's called secondary losses, and that really opened up my mind to that. You know, what was it I was really missing? You know, I was missing like the accolades. You know what I'm trying to say? I was missing the being in the in crowd and so forth. It's not about that. You know, my story was I'm supposed to be about Jesus. That's my story. So why am I worrying about, you know, who said what about who? And you know, it's no word about that. You know, so when I got back in the ministry again, it was actually after I went to the National Single Adult Summit in 2022 in Texas. And I went to one of the classes that was there, and that class was taught by Elder Powell. And I'm pretty sure he saw a lot of people. He won't remember me, you know, but I went to that breakout that he did, and he was telling his testimony about getting back in the ministry again. And I really hadn't made the decision to get back. And when I and let me just segue real quick. So I told my pastor I didn't feel like I should preach anymore. I didn't feel like I should do a whole bunch of things. I don't feel worthy to do it, you know, because you put that shame on you. You have a divorce, and he let me do it. You know, he allowed me to do that, even though he knew better. You know, he was my pastor, but he allowed me to stop. I just put a halt on everything that I was doing. Well, in that breakout session in 2022, he told his testimony and then how God brought him back to the ministry again. So after the class, I went to him and I said, "Elder Powell said, thank you for letting me know what you went through," and I told him what I was doing, and I was expecting, you know, like a whole pat on the back. You know, it's okay, brother. You know, God knows. Well, in love, as an elder, in love, he rebuked me. In love, he did. And what he taught me was this, and this is what I wanted to say about that. He said, there's a circle of ministry. And he said, and when you stopped ministering, that circle was cut. He said, and everybody that you should have ministered to, you didn't because you stopped. And I remember I cried just like I'm crying now. Because the realization came that everybody that I could have talked to and witnessed to and whatever, I didn't do it because I was selfish enough to stop doing whatever I wanted to do because whatever, I was mad or ashamed. And it's legitimate, but I'm just saying when it comes to the Lord, I needed to have some direction. And that was my direction. So after that, summit was done, when I came out to California, I went straight to my pastor, you know, and just for me, I mean, he already knew because your pastor knows. I mean, don't be fooled. Your pastor knows you. God talks to him about you. And I went to him and I in his office and I apologized to him, you know, for, you know, quitting doing the ministry. I apologized to him for things that I was doing and said, and I'm gonna get back. I'm gonna get back to it. And he said, okay, good. He was waiting for me to start. You know, so I did, you know. So once that happened, it was full go after that. It was full go for music because I stopped music too. You know, don't get it twisted. I didn't do music either. I stopped playing music. I stopped writing music. I stopped, you know, preaching. I stopped all of that, you know, but when I came back, I started doing it all again, you know? So for anybody that goes through that and had that journey, if they just stay focused on the fact that you are a Christian, it's really going to help, you know, because you need to be healed. One of my spiritual mentors told me, she said that God knew that you were going to be here.
That's
So
right.
God's going to have what you need for this moment. I mean, you know how it is when you just feel like you're in a hole. I was laying on my bed and all the lights were on in my house, but I felt like I was in the dark, you know, because you're such in a hole in your emotions. You know, I was really there. And like I said, COVID happened during all that time. I mean, because God knows how to do it. You know, God knows how to do it. You know, here I am. I was working for a restaurant. I was assistant manager at a restaurant for that time, and restaurants didn't shut down during COVID. Remember, they kept on going. Well, here I am working 10, 12 hours a day, going through a divorce and separation and all kind of at the same time, just, you know, working. I couldn't do anything. And all of a sudden, everything was shut down, right? So God was like, okay, so now you have to deal with yourself now, son. And that's what it was. I didn't have anything to distract myself. God wanted me to focus on me. And thank the Lord that He allowed that, you know. So 2019, 2020, I was focusing on me, and then the healing process started. But if I hadn't of, like I said, that scripture, you know, stop talking so much and be quick to listen, not be angry. If I didn't do that, then I wouldn't have been sitting here right now. I wouldn't have been sitting here. So I'm thankful for my spiritual mentors around me, men and women, people that should actually literally call elders. And let me put this out there. If that person cannot call you on the carpet spiritually, they are not a spiritual mentor or an elder, whatever word you want to use. Don't, you know what I'm saying? If they can't do that to you, they're not the ones. But these people that are actually able to come to me and say, Ian, you need to sit down or whatever, I gave them the authority to do it. And they still have it. But I'm just saying during that season, it was really important for me to do that. So my testimony doing that as a man, because I got married at 29, so I wasn't a little boy. And I was married for about 14 years. So when I got a divorce, I was well into, like my manhood, if I want to say that. I was well into my life trying to get things started. So it was a big deal for me to stop talking. You know what I'm saying? It was a big deal for me just to let somebody else lead me. It was a big deal to let somebody speak into my life. It's a big deal to let somebody give me instruction. But it was from the Lord. It was humility. I learned honor. I didn't even know what honor was till that time. I learned what honor was. I even preached about that. You know what I'm trying to say? So many things came out of that because I stopped talking so much. I started listening to my spiritual elders, and I getting so angry, according to James 1:19. Not
I
that
love
scripture.
that, brother. What a great testimony. Just kind of saying something that was unexpected. And you said, I never thought I would see myself in this place. And that's what most singles say. I never imagined this was not the plan. This did not is not how I necessarily thought it would be. But being able to take that and being able to say, okay, God, what can you do with this? What can you do? And having elders and people speak into your life. I love being that you mentioned the summit and Brother Bo Powell and being able to hear something from the Lord so powerful and impact you, and then go back and turn back to go to California. Okay, all right, now I'm ready. We're gonna do this, Pastor.
You want to do it.
I love that. I love that you shared that with us. And everybody's journey is different, but we can all learn something from one another. So I want to go into one of my last questions, and I want to ask, what advice would you give and share to people that are single and who are listening on the podcast, whether it be in a situation like you have been in, being a divorce, after 14 years or so many years, or widowed or never been married, what advice would you like to share with our listeners?
So a part of it's kind of what I was saying already, but the advice I normally give to people from a practical standpoint, something that my mother used to always say. She used to always say that feelings are neither wrong nor right. It's just how you feel. Don't let nobody tell you how you're supposed to feel, at the time. That's super important, especially when you're going through, if you've been widowed, or had a divorce or separated, you have all these feelings. But the Bible says there's many voices in the world, but do you know the meaning of the voice? You need to stick with the Bible. My advice to people is that don't let your feelings dictate what God is telling you to do in your life. Because God's leading you. And the Bible says that God will lead you and guide you in all the ways of the truth. You know what I'm trying to say? I mean, that verse is a lamp to your feet. Like you can't see to the left or the right. It's what I'm trying to say. You can't see in front of you. You can't see around you. Everything's dark. But then that scripture comes that thy word is a lamp to my feet and a light into my path. It's super important because we read the scriptures too fast, but that really helped me, So someone who loved the word, that was a part of it too. So my advice is don't let your feelings lead you in the wrong directions and stick with the word of God. You have to stick with the Bible. If it wasn't for the Bible, I'm telling I really needed the Bible. I really needed that because I was taking it literally, learning it. Hearing things I didn't hear before, because growing up in the church, it's different. Because I got the Holy Ghost when I was 10. So you hear all these scriptures, you hear all these preaching all your life, so you think you know everything. I was in Bible quizzing, for junior Bible quiz and senior Bible quiz. So you have all these scriptures in your brain, but you read the scriptures too fast. You know what I'm trying to say? So I needed the word of God. I needed to know what it was actually saying to me, and I have a new love for the Bible now because of that. So my advice is, don't let them feelings lead you in the wrong direction. Stick with the word of God and stick under your pastors and your spiritual elders. You really need that. Without that, you're going to be done. Because even your calling is about that. Your calling is based on what the Lord tells you and what's confirmed in the word of God and what's confirmed by your pastor, right? So why wouldn't you think that if you're in a hard life situation, that it wouldn't be the same? You have your prayer and the spirit, you read the word, listen to your pastor, it's the same. It's the same. So don't be isolated by yourself. That's the wrong thing to do. stick under your pastors and the word of God.
Amen. Amen. That's really great advice. Also, feelings are temporary. Bible says the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? And our heart, knowing the word of God is forever settled in heaven. So if we stick to the word of God, our feelings will come and go and they will change. They're valid, but what we need to focus on is, but what does the word of God say?
What does the word of God say?
What does his word say? And that's what we've got to stick to. So I appreciate so much that you have come on and decided to be a guest with us on Navigating Solo. Of course,
For
we will be
asking me.
seeing a lot more of you as you're working with the national team, and so excited for all that is coming, moving forward, and all the other things that are going on in singles ministry. So
Love.
thankful. God is good. He's doing great things. Oh, Brother Ian McGill, again, thank you for coming on, and to all of our guests on Navigating Solo. Until next time, God bless.